Welcoming all of you to the Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Nityananda Prabhuji. Prabhuji is going to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 9th chapter, 15th verse. Before going to that, I'll hand out the call to Praveen Govind Prabhuji to give brief introduction of His Grace Nityananda Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, my Dhanvat pranams to all the devotees on the call. His Grace Nityananda Prabhu is a senior disciple of His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. Prabhuji is the temple president of the Hare Krishna Temple in Dallas, serving Sri Sri Radha Kalachanji. He has been a member of the GBC for more than a decade. He has had different roles in the GBC. He served as the chairperson of the North America GBC executive team, which oversees all ISKCON temples across North America. He also serves as the GBC for 5 states in the USA. Under his strong leadership, the Hare Krishna Temple in Dallas is flourishing leaps and bounds. His Guru Maharaj asked him to serve the community by taking the role of temple president. Since then, Nityananda Prabhuji has introduced different ways to make the community stronger. He comes from a strong political family from Fiji, which is definitely seen in his leadership. Fulfilling Srila Prabhupada's mission. Under his guidance, the Kirtan 50 has been taken to a total different level. His classes are an unlimited source of motivation. Being a member of the GBC, he travels across the world for preaching. He inspires each and every community member by his knowledge about the Shastra and his simple yet thought-provoking classes. He is a perfect temple president who trusts on his community and encourages new ways of preaching. Nityananda Prabhuji, along with his wife, Manjuali Mataji, are serving the Dallas community for many, many years. They are a perfect example on how one can follow Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Dhanvat Pranam for the service attitude. Dhanvat Pranam Prabhuji, welcome to the call. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dhanvat Pranam, all goes to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll hand out the call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to our Guru Maharajas. Hare Krishna. So, thank you very much for that introduction. Actually, that introduction overstates my real position. But anyway, amongst Vaishnavas, we have to accept whatever is said on behalf of the spiritual master so that the real credit goes to the spiritual master and to the Acharya. Srila Prabhupada is the Acharya for our movement, and we're all very fortunate that we are part of this amazing, amazing Sangha. So today we're going to be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 9, Text 15. So we'll put our hands together and say, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Gyan Tivirandasya Gyanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshurun Netam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamagyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tirubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhya Vaishnavebhya Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Peshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Dinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhagavata Mahapurana Ki Jai. So I'll just read the text and then the transliteration, then go into the translation, then the purport. I'm hoping the that the sound is loud enough. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay, wonderful. Wonderful. So again, this is the verse. Athapaneyastam sva vidina vishichyatena vasasa chadya bhushanalepa sraktilak adibir upaskritam bhuktavantam dhupadipa malilaja kisalayankura falo paharopetya Ropateya, Veshasa Sangstheya, Mahata, Gita Stuti Mridanga Panava Ghoshena Cha, Purusha Pashum Bhadra Kalyaha, Purata Upaveshayam Asuhu. Transliteration. Atha, thereafter, Panayaha, all the followers of the dacoit, Tam, him, Jalabharat, Swavidina, according to their own ritualistic principles, Abhishitya, bathing, Ahatena, with new, Vasasa, garments, Achadya, covering, Bhushana, ornaments, Alepa, smearing the body with sandalwood pulp, struck a flower garland, Tilaka Adibihi, with markings on the body and so on. Upaskritam, completely decorated. Bhuktavantam, having eaten. Dhupa, with incense. Deepa, lamps. Malya, garlands. Laja, parched grain. Kisalaya Ankura, twigs and sprouts. Phala, fruits. Upahara, other paraphernalia, Upateya, fully equipped, Vatsasa Sangstaya, with complete arrangements for sacrifice, Mahata, great, Gita Stuti, of songs and prayers, Mridanga, of the drums, Panava, of the bugles, Ghoshena, by vibration, Cha, also, Purusha, Pashum, the man animal, Bhadrakalyaha, of the goddess Kali, Purataha, just in front, Upaveshaya Asuhu, made him sit down. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. After this, all the thieves, according to their imaginative ritual for killing animalistic men, bathed Jalabhara, dressed him in new clothes, decorated him with ornaments befitting an animal, smeared his body with scented oils, and decorated him with tilak, sandalwood pulp, and garlands. They fed him sumptuously and then brought him before the goddess Kali, offering her incense, lamps, garlands, parched grain, newly grown twigs, sprouts, fruits and flowers. In this way, they worship the deity before killing the man animal, and they vibrate at songs and prayers and play drums and bugles. Jarabharat was then made to sit down before the deity. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In this verse, the word Swavidina, according to their own ritualistic principles, is very significant. According to the Vedic Shastras, everything must be done according to the regulative principles. But here it is stated that the thieves and rogues devise their own process for killing an animalistic man. The Tamasic Shastras give instructions for the sacrifice of an animal like a goat or buffalo before the goddess Kali. But there is no mention of killing a man, however dull he may be. This process was manufactured by the dacoits themselves. Therefore, the word Swavidina is used. Even at this time, there are many sacrifices being conducted without reference to the Vedic scriptures. For instance, in Calcutta, recently a slaughterhouse was being advertised as a temple of the goddess Kali. Meat eaters foolishly purchase meat from such shops, thinking it is different from ordinary meat and taking it to be prasad of goddess Kali. The sacrifice of a goat or a similar animal before the goddess Kali is mentioned in Shastras just to keep people from eating slaughterhouse meat and becoming responsible for killing of animals. The conditioned soul has a natural tendency towards sex and meat eating. Consequently, the Shastras grant them some concessions. Actually, the Shastras aim at putting an end to these abominable activities, but they impart some regulative principles so that gradually meat eaters and sex hunters will be rectified. Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasme Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Putale Shrimate Tamal Krishna Goswami Nidhira. Athapanayastam Swavidina Vishityahatena Vasasa Chadya Bhushana Leva Saktilak Adibir Upaskatam Bhuktavantam Dupa Deepa Mali Laja Kisalayankura Falo Baha Rupetaya Veshasa Sangsthaya Mahata Gita Stati Mridanga Panava Goshenacha Purusha Pashum Bhadra Kaliha Purata Upaveshaya. So this is the fifth canto, which describes the creative impetus. And here in particular, the character of Jarabharat is being described. So Jarabharat, in his life prior to this, was actually a deer, an animal. And prior to that, he was actually the emperor of the world. He was actually King Bharata and Emperor Bharata, because an emperor is actually a king of kings. There are many kings, many kingdoms, and the king who is over all of those kingdoms is called the emperor. So Jarabharata, Bharat Maharaj, was actually such a emperor. Very wonderful devotee of Krishna, who understood the Vedas properly and then decided that at the end of his life, closer to the end of his life, to renounce everything and go to the forest and live in the forest, a renounced life, focusing on Krishna Bhakti, because this is the ultimate purpose of life. That actually it is described in the Vedanta Sutra. Ataha, the statement is given that one should actually, now that one has a human form of life, one should actually focus on the Supreme Absolute Truth. Ataha, the verse that is used, the statement that is used is for the ultimate supreme purpose of life, which is the ultimate supreme truth. So, Bharat Maharaj understood that. And then when he was living in the forest and focusing on Krishna Bhakti, Ekanta Krishna Bhakti, like that, he actually came across a situation where there was a deer who gave birth to her baby. And after the baby came, the deer was actually, the deer died due to an intervention by a hunter. The deer died. So, naturally, Bharat Maharaj was a very, very compassionate person. So he thought, let me look after the baby so that the baby can survive and have a decent life. And in the process, developed an attachment for this deer to the extent that at the time when he was quitting his body, he was thinking about the well-being of this deer, who was pretty much like his child, like that. So this is very natural to us as human beings, that we have this affection for others and other things. Naturally, there's affection because this is the nature of the soul. The soul has three things that it will naturally tend towards if it was self-resplendent. Self-resplendent means that it was dealing with its own situation, not dealing with other things. And those three things are Dainya, Udarya, and Prema. Dainya means that the soul understands that it is insignificant and that at all under all conditions it should remain humble. It is also very, very generous towards others. The soul understands that by serving others, Krishna becomes happy, and as a result of that, the soul's own happiness is assured because of the intimate loving relationship with Krishna. And finally, the soul understands that everyone is actually connected to Krishna. Everyone, as the Bhagavad Gita says, is a child of Krishna. Krishna says, that he is the seed-giving father of all living entities. Aham Bija Pradapitaha. And he also says he is Suhridam Sarvabhutanam, that he is the best friend, the best well-wisher, the lover of all living entities. He also describes that every living entity is his part and parcel, Ame Bhamsa Jiva Loka, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, like that. And also that we are his, that every living entity is his servant. Jivera Surupahoy Nitir Krishna Das. So this word service means expression of love. So Krishna accepts us in that position. And that is why the soul naturally tends to love. And in the love, there is very strong sneha. Sneha is like affection, deep affection. And this deep affection, Bharat Maharaj showered on this very fortunate deer, because once a devotee takes to another living entity or anything, that living entity or that thing will have make great advancement in Krishna consciousness. So the deer did very well in its life, and I'm very certain in its future lives became a wonderful devotee of Krishna. But because Bharat Maharaj himself had this little desire to please, to serve this deer, and not totally focus on Krishna. Krishna decided that he should become a deer in his next life so that he can actually have all of the wonderful feelings and lifestyle of a deer, which he did. But because he was such a powerful devotee of Krishna, he could remember that in his last life that he was a devotee of Krishna and that he had made this judgmental error of allowing a deer to replace Krishna somewhat, not fully, somewhat. He still loved Krishna fully. But there's this little part of him that had this affection for the deer, and as a result of which Krishna wanted him to fulfill that final little bit. And so allowed him to understand who he was in his previous life. And his next life then, he became a Brahmin because he was a devotee of Krishna. And a devotee of Krishna is Brahminical by nature. Maybe serving as a Kshatriya or Vaishya or Shudra, but by nature, devotees are Brahminical, which means they're very intelligent. And Prabhupada did warn us that we should not become over-intelligent like that. Otherwise, it's like jumping so hard that you fall on the other side of the horse instead of falling on the horse itself. You know, you overstate the position. And so, he was born to a very wonderful family and very wonderful parents who were themselves, brahmanas. And so, in this life, he decided that he will always think of Krishna and never forget Krishna. And so he was given that opportunity, but by providence, his father and mother passed away. So then his stepfather and stepmother looked after him, and they were quite cruel with him. But under all those conditions, he remained very humble, very humble. And always remembered Krishna and never tried to project himself in any way that would create an impression that he had any intelligence in him, that he was a Brahmin, like that. So he was treated like a madman, worse than a Shudra. His stepfather and stepmother would give him food that had become spoiled, like that. Really bad treatment. He went through all of that very humbly. And then at one time he was asked to guard the paddy field, and at night as he was guarding it, these dacoits came along and captured him. And seeing his condition, they decided that they would offer him to their deity, Bhadrakali. Now, here's the key part of this, one of the very key parts of this narration in this verse. And that is that these dacoits, they had decided that they would worship Bhadrakali according to the ritualistic principles, but they manufactured parts of that ritualistic principle. They followed the ritualistic principle correctly, actually. Except the part that they followed that wasn't correct was there was no arrangement in the Vedas that said that a person, a human being, could be offered as an offering to Goddess Kali, to be killed, to be beheaded, to be killed, and then offered to Bhadrakali for her to drink the blood. Like that, because they themselves would indulge in liquor, and so they considered the blood of the animal-like human beings to be like liquor for Bhadrakali. So this process was manufactured, as Prabhupada says, by the dacoits themselves. Therefore, the word swavidina is used, and here is a very important instruction for us, because for us also we have been given a very clear process of how to be Krishna conscious. It is a very amazing process. It's simple, but it is simple for the simple-hearted. For those of us who like to complicate things, we complicate the philosophy and as a result of which find it hard to be Krishna conscious. Now, Prabhupada did say Krishna consciousness is not easy, but he did say also that it is simple for the simple-hearted. So our idea is not to be swavidinas also. We should not actually in any way manufacture the process of Krishna consciousness. So how do we avoid manufacturing the process of Krishna consciousness? We avoid it by accepting a spiritual master. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadikshyate jnanam jnanena stavadashana. So it is the spiritual master who imparts this knowledge to us because he has seen the truth, or she has seen the truth. Spiritual master comes in three categories. The spiritual master introduces us to Krishna consciousness. The spiritual master who actually holds our hand and walks us back to Godhead. And the spiritual master who introduces us to the parampara. Marga Padarshaka Guru, the Siksha Guru, and the Diksha Guru. All three are all complete spiritual masters. The purpose is to listen to the spiritual master, hear from the spiritual master clearly. Shravanam, that's called Shravanam. And then to speak what the spiritual master has said, so that's Kirtanam. And by this process, we will remember Krishna fully. And then by the process of deity worship, by the process of serving Vaishnavas, particularly three things that we do, which is Jivdeya Namruchi, and Vaishnava Seva. We actually follow this process of associating with devotees, chanting Hare Krishna, reading Srila Prabhupada's books and books of Bhakti, the Bhakti Sastras, by the Acharyas, by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, the grand disciples, who have written books according to the bona fide understanding of bhakti, the bona fide practice of bhakti like that. And then dancing in front of the deities, doing deity worship, being devoted, becoming a real disciple, true disciple of a bona fide spiritual master, of accepting devotional diet like that. And then most importantly, encouraging others to do these things. This is our process. This is the process by which we become Krishna conscious. And then great acharyas like Bhaktivinoda Thakur distilled it further by saying that the only two important things for a devotee to do, which will make all the difference, is to have real affection for chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. To have a real desire to chant, real affection, real taste in chanting, understanding that the holy name of Krishna is not different from Krishna. The holy name of Radharani is not different from Radharani. Holy name of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, the holy name of Lord Nityananda are not different from that. Holy name of Lord Balaram, like that. So these are the names in the Maha Mantra. The word Hare represents Radharani, represents Lord Nityananda. The word Krishna represents Lord Krishna himself and represents Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And the word Rama represents Radharani, represents Lord Balaram, represents Lord Nityananda. And for some of us, because we are also very attached to Lord Rama, represents Lord Rama. Like that. And Hare represents Sita as well. So like that. So these names are non-different from their personalities. And by taking the holy name of the Lord, one becomes very, very attached to the Lord also. So we become very close to Krishna, very close to Radharani, very close to these personalities that I mentioned. So much so that it is described there should be no straw that anybody can put between each of us and Krishna like that. No daylight, there should be no daylight. So this attachment has to be there. Attachment for chanting. And then everything we do in our life should be seen as chanting, because it's always connected to the same attachment to Krishna. And this is why the acharyas prescribe that we should always be absorbed in sankirtan. Kirtana means to glorify. Kirtiyate iti kirtanam. So, kirtiyate iti kirtanam means that kirtan means to glorify. Love means to glorify Krishna. That is love of Krishna. So, we're always glorifying Krishna with all of our thoughts, words, deeds, desires, actions, endeavors, demeanor, etc., like that. Our plans, whatever we do. We're always doing something that will glorify Krishna. That will glorify Krishna and his associates, Lord Gauranga and his associates, like these in these two leelas of separation and union. Viplamba and Sambhoga, like that. So this is a very key aspect of what we do. And the whole movement is based on this. Having this attachment for chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, like that. And of mantras that are related to the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, like the Panchatattva Maha Mantra, and as Srila Prabhupada describes, Gaura Nityananda. This mantra is very, very important. So like that. And then the second thing that Bhaktivinoda Thakur advises very, very mercifully to us to make this process very simple is Jivdaya. Jiva means living entities, and Daya means to have compassion upon these living entities, to be merciful towards other living entities. And what is that mercy? That mercy is somehow to remind them that we are all Krishna's devotees. We are servants of Krishna. We are children of Krishna. We are Krishna's beloveds. We are part and parcel of the whole arrangement of Krishna, which is so very big. The material world and the spiritual world all put together, they're very big, unlimitedly expansive, great. But all of that fits inside Krishna. Krishna is greater than all of that. And that Krishna loves us the most. So everything we do should be for Krishna's pleasure. And so if we can somehow encourage others to do the same, then they will also become happy. They'll become very happy. And to be happy and to give happiness to others, to be loved and to love others, to serve and be served, to be devoted and spread devotion to others, encourage devotion to others. This is the ultimate purpose of life. This is what is called Krishna Prema. Krishna Prema makes everything animated. Everything moves because of Krishna Prema. If Krishna Prema stops, the whole creation will freeze. Nothing will move. And this Krishna Prema emanates from the flute of Krishna that Krishna is playing. So this Venu Gita is actually the cause of everything becoming animate. And the Venu Gita is Krishna Prema. So somehow, if we can encourage others to become aware that they are spirit soul, not the body, and that the purpose of life is to once again rekindle one's relationship with Krishna and then re-enter the ultimate planet, the ultimate spiritual planet, Goloka Vrindavan, and then re-enter the very, very amazingly ecstatic and all-attractive pastimes of Radha and Krishna in union and of Gaur Nityananda in separation. And all of the associates, like Lord Balaram on this side, Advaita Acharya, Gadadhar Pandit, Srivast Thakur, like that, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, and on the other side, the Vaishnavas, the devotees of Krishna, the Krishna Bhaktas, the Balaram Bhaktas, like that, depending on which part of the forest of Vrindavan we're in. This is ultimately what we should do. And to do that, we encourage people by praying for them. We encourage them by saying sweet words to them, smiling at them. We encourage them by giving them Krishna Prasada, by availing this philosophy through the wonderful books that Srila Prabhupada left behind, which was why he came to this planet. By singing and dancing, the process of singing and dancing, hearing kirtan and singing and dancing like that. so many wonderful deity worship, farm life, you know, prasadam distribution, amazing, amazing things, arts and crafts, just amazing, amazing. There's this unlimited number of things in Krishna consciousness that can attract all persons in some way, shape, form or another. We can do that. And that is Jivdev. Then if we live our lives like that, simply always chanting Hare Krishna, always remembering Krishna, never forgetting Krishna, and always seeing everyone and everything in connection to Krishna, and somehow or the other encouraging them in their lives, because they are discouraged in this life, we can see, especially right now, it's become even more clear that people are really suffering. Now there is more mental disease than ever in the past. People have become affected mentally far more than in the past, recent past. So actually people are looking for this now. They're actually wanting to become Krishna conscious. It is our purpose now, somehow or the other, to interest people in whatever we do. So in this verse, we can see that these dacoits, who are so-called devotees of Bhadrakali, were actually not doing what the deity wanted. They were doing something else because they had become conditioned. This is why they said very nicely that the conditioned soul has a natural tendency towards sex and meat eating. Why natural? Natural because for billions and billions of lives, we have been in the material world. In every breath of Vishnu, when he breathes out and breathes in, 311 trillion years go away, and we live billions of lives in each breath. And how many times we've been breathed out by Vishnu, breathed in back, breathed out, breathed in? It's hard to say. Hard to say. But it is many, that is for sure. It is many, many lives, breaths like that. And so we've lived billions and billions and trillions of lives. And in all of those lives, we became conditioned towards doing things in a way that is not regulative, that is against the desire of Krishna. Just like it is against the desire of a parent that the child misbehaves and becomes unhappy as a result of that misbehavior. So because of these billions and billions of lives that we've lived, and how many times Lord Chaitanya has come and gone, come and gone, come and gone, and we've become devotees, but we didn't go back to Godhead. We stayed back. Why? Because we had that little desire. And then little desire became big again, then became little again, then becomes big again, then becomes little again, and we sort of like cycle in this samsara chakra. So there is no guarantee that this time, of course, in this life of Brahma, Lord Chaitanya came this time, there was his 15,001st visit, because Lord Chaitanya comes once in every day of Brahma, just like Krishna. And first 3,000 days of Brahma, Brahma could not create. And Brahma has lived 18,000 days. This is 18,001st day. And first 3,000, he couldn't do anything. So his spiritual master came and advised him to chant. And as a result of which, he had the darshan of Krishna, and then Krishna told him how to create, and then the creation started, the rest of it started. And so 15,000 times Lord Chaitanya came and went back. We didn't go back to Godhead. And now this is the 15,001st visit. There's no guarantee that we're going to go back to Godhead. We really have to give up all desire to enjoy in this world. We have to give up the understanding that there is something of value in this world other than to chant Hare Krishna and do Jivdaya. Those are the only two things of value here. Everything else is meant to serve these two great values. Otherwise, as it says here, we will not be rectified. We will remain meat eaters and sex hunters. Either one or both of them. That is just naturally going to happen. It may not happen for a little while. You might think, no, I don't eat meat. I do not hunt for sex. Yes, temporarily you might do that, but you'll go back there again. We'll all go back there again. If we don't take to this process seriously, understand that every moment of our life is meant for this purpose, that whatever we're doing, we're always meditating, we're always absorbed in Sankirtan. Sankirtan is the process of chanting Hare Krishna in union, of serving Krishna and glorifying Krishna in union as a team, as a group. Because Prabhupada said, only when we are working as a group and we cooperate as a group, we'll be successful. He needs to call it a bundle of sticks. Another way to put it is like we're threads of string. If we can intertwine with one another, then we become a rope. So a rope cannot be broken. A bundle of sticks cannot be broken. One stick can be broken quite easily, actually. Even in the material world, the people who speak to others to help them in their lives tell them that the association you keep is most important, that you must have association and keep good association like that. And of course, for us, chanting of Hare Krishna, Prabhupada said, these two are the 90% reasons for success. Association of devotees, sadhu sangha, and doing kirtan, sankirtan, doing kirtan together. These two will keep us in the process very nicely. And then we can become gradually the personalities we are meant to be, which is pure devotees of Krishna, pure devotees of Gauranga Mahaprabhu and their associates, like that in Golok Vrindavan. So I'm going to stop here. I'm going to ask if any of you have anything you'd like to say, any questions you'd like to ask. I prefer things to be more interactive because it allows us to go deeper into our understanding of what Swavidina means and what it means to be Krishna conscious and the purpose of this verse, like that. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for a wonderful class, Prabhuji. You added so many valuable points. Thank you so much, Prabhu. If anybody have any questions or realizations, please go ahead. Radha Krishna Mataji, you can go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu, Hare Krishna, all Vaishnavas. Dhanavat Pranam. Prabhu, I have a question. Like, I'm trying to follow the Krishna conscious, but for the family reason, I mean, they eat non-veg. So I'm cooking non-veg for them. So what is the, I mean, I'm trying to give them the nice prasadam, but they are not interested. So I'm cooking non-veg for them, but I'm following the Krishna conscious life.
Yes, so in this world, there are two tracks that we live on. We live on the track of the material arrangements that we are living in, and we live on the track of being Krishna conscious. So there's a very nice saying in Hindi, Antar Nishtha Bahir Lok Vyahar. So internally, we have to be fully Krishna conscious. Antar Nishtha, we are completely fixed on Krishna consciousness. And Bahir Lok Vyahar, we have to act according to the circumstances we're faced with. So you're living in a family and the family members insist on eating meat. So you might have to also help in cooking the meat, etc. But internally, we're always thinking of Krishna. We're always praying to Krishna. And Krishna will make all the arrangements by which we will become more and more attached to him. He'll make all the arrangements very, very nicely. And to do that, as we said, we remain in the association of devotees. We read Srila Prabhupada's books very, very sincerely. When you're reading the book, you should be able to feel yourself in the scene itself. So this type of reading is very important, that when you're reading, you're not just trying to understand the knowledge, but you're trying to visualize yourself in that scene and being part. It's like a movie going on, and you're in that movie itself. So reading like that is very important. And of course, chanting with meaning, you know. So when we're chanting, we know that we are talking to Krishna here, we're relating to Krishna. Oh, energy of the Lord, all attractive Lord, or reservoir of all pleasure, kindly engage me in your service, like that. So our mind is not going other way, places where the mind is looking for meaning. So if every word that we are chanting clearly, hearing clearly, speaking clearly and hearing clearly, we understand what it means also, what we are saying to Krishna as we are chanting. It is possible, so like I'm speaking to you now, I have meaning in what I'm saying. The words that I'm using have meaning. That's why my mind is focused on speaking to you. Otherwise, my mind will be all over the place and I'll speak in a way that's not going to be coherent like that. So chanting like that, attentively. And then, you know, taking Krishna Prasada, worshipping the deities, you know, dancing in front of the deity is very important, that we dance. That shows our happiness to the Lord. You know? Happy person dances. And then being very devoted like this to this process, and disciplined, the disciple. And most importantly, like I said, encouraging others, preaching. This is a preaching process. The teacher is the best student. The trainer learns best. One who is training learns best. So always in training mode, training others in this process so that we get fully trained ourselves as much as possible in this imperfect world. So then we can go to the next place where Krishna is performing his pastime, Lord Gauranga is performing his pastime and their associates like that. And there we get finally perfectly trained. Then we can go back to the original spiritual planet for Guru Lord Vrindavan. So this is the process. And so staying fixed in that process and understanding that there are problems in this world and there are difficulties, and sometimes we're going to be involved in those difficulties. But that's not our intention. Our intention is always to be loving Krishna and spreading love of Krishna to others like that. Then it's okay. I mean, you know, what can you do? Something in our previous lives we did that brought us into this situation. But this life is our key life. This is the life we springboard to the planet where Krishna is performing his pastime in the material world, or Lord Gauranga. And those two places, they're as spiritual as the spiritual world. So there we get finally retrained. Prabhupada says very nicely that we get born in the womb of a gopi. And then Tulsi Maharani's disciple actually trains us to become perfect devotees of Krishna. And that way, everything becomes first class. So meantime, yes, there are going to be some inadequacies of this world that's going to creep into our life. But what can we do? We decided to come to the material world. We have to accept the bad bargain that all of us have in one shape, form, or another. Is that okay?
Yeah. Thank you, Dandavat. That was really wonderful. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for a wonderful answer, Prabhuji. Does anybody have any questions or realizations? Please go ahead.
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Anam, Prabhu. Prabhuji, one question, Prabhu. This one, say, if somebody is reading a Shastra, see, all our principles are based on Shastric evidences, right? So if somebody, say, they read one Puran, which is recommending Devata's worship, and now they're doing it right, Prabhu. So now they're fixed. How do they, that, like, generally the scriptures, how are they channeling from Devata worship to the Supreme Lord? Does those other Puranas also mention the details, like, right? So that's my question, Prabhu. Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Very good question. Thank you very much. It's a very, very good question. So basically, our evidence is not just Shastra. Our evidence is Guru Sadhu and Shastra. So just like, say, for example, if you go to medical school and you want to study medicine, there are lots of books of medicine, but they're not the only evidence. They're not the only training system in that university or that medical college. There are professors there. There are people who became trained doctors who are there. And then they're able to bring it all together to a proper understanding of medicine in a way that you can heal the person that you are trying to serve rather than kill the person, because you read something in the, I read something in the medical book, but didn't quite understand it properly. So the idea is that the Vedas understand, just like it says in this verse, that we have become conditioned. So in our conditioning, we are one in one of three phases. We are either in a tamasic life, mode of ignorant life, mode of ignorance life, or we're in rajasic life, which is mode of passion life, or we are in sattvic life, which is mode of goodness life. All these three are conditioned. All three are pretty much not going to work. But each is better than the other. So better than tamasic is rajasic, and better than rajasic is sattvic. Sattvic becomes a spring point to go to shuddha sattvic, or pure goodness, shuddha sattva, like that, which is what the devotion area is. Devotee, bhakti area is shuddha sattva. So when they rise to the rajasic level, people actually do worship of the devi devatas, you know. They worship the Devi Devatas like that. So it means they're progressive, which is good. But what needs to happen is they need to come across some devotee who is going to become their Marga Pradarshak Guru. And this devotee will explain to them the process that we become very conditioned. And as a result of conditioning, we became worse than tamasic. And then we came to tamasic. And then tamasic, the process starts. Okay, start doing this, start doing that. You can offer animals, you know, like this, but this is the process. Then they rise from that process to over a number of thousands or millions of lifetimes. They rise to the rajasic level. And then after thousands and millions of lifetimes of being rajasic, they rise to the sattvic level. And then after thousands and millions of sattvic lifestyles, they come to the shuddha sattva lifestyle. So it's a very gradual process, very gradual process. But the devotee who is in that shuddha sattva can hasten that process, make it much faster. Prabhupada said, in one lifetime, you can switch a person from wherever they are to the highest position, just 30 or 40 years of practice in the association of like-minded, those types of devotees who can actually also encourage the living entity to do that. In the association of pure devotees, sadhu sangha, we can actually speed up that process, lightning speed, very light speed, you know, we can speed up this process. And so all of these persons who are, because even sattvagun has a problem, because sattvagun will lull us into impersonalism. Sattvagun means everything's fine, everything's one, there's no conflict, everything is good. So it's a lulling effect on you, and people become impersonalist as a result. So really, personalism is not good for us either. So none of these three modes are actually really good for us. But the sattva mode has at least this benefit that your brain cells are working, you know, the white brain cells are growing and working. So one can understand spiritual understanding. Then when we meet a devotee of the Lord, then the devotee can give us the full explanation. Otherwise, we'll become impersonalists, you know, like that. Thinking that I am part and parcel of God means I am also God. It's just separated now, but I'll soon merge in God like that. And of course, we have that interest of enjoying, but that is part of our nature to enjoy it like that. So the greatest enjoyment is the enjoyment of God. This is what we understand when we are not Krishna conscious. When we are Krishna conscious, we understand that the devotees enjoy more than God enjoys, that devotees enjoy more than Krishna. And of course, Krishna tries to increase his enjoyment more than the devotees. The devotees don't give up. They compete and they defeat Krishna many times. And some of them eternally defeat Krishna. Not just sometimes, they always defeat Krishna. Examples are Mother Yashoda, Radharani, Lord Balaram, Radharani's brother. So devotees like that, these are very, very powerful devotees. In Golok Vrindavan, pretty much everybody defeats Krishna all the time. So, and Krishna is the highest. There is nothing higher than Krishna. No one higher than Krishna. But, so the devotees understand this impersonalism is a waste of time itself. It's a very poor understanding of enjoyment. And so, the devotees are not interested like that. So, more than devata worship is impersonalism. More powerful than devata worship is. Because it's in the mode of goodness. And how do you get that person out of there? Because that's even harder. Devata worship person you can get out easily. The easiest person to get out of all of this is the one in Tamagun. Tamagun people are the easiest to make Krishna conscious. Because these guys are really suffering. They're not doing very well. So any standard of happiness will give them some feeling, wow, this is nice. Maybe I should do this. Yes. Which is why in Hare Krishna, you notice sometimes devotees misbehave and you feel like they must be in Tamagun or something. Why are they thinking and doing things like that? Because that is their conditioning, you see. And then Rajagun people are a little harder to, because these guys have become hardworking now and they're focused. Rich and famous, must become rich and famous like that. And the hardest are the impersonalists. Pretty much very little chance you can affect an impersonalist to become a devotee. They'll take very, like I said, thousands and millions of lives to come around like that. So really it's Guru Sadhu and Sastra. We must meet people who have succeeded on this path. They are gurus. They are the Marg Padasha gurus, the Siksha gurus, and the Diksha gurus. And Sadhu means those who are in this process purely. They're purely in this process. They're purely pure-hearted personalities in this process of Krishna Bhakti, Guru Bhakti, like that. And then Sastra means the scriptures, particularly Srila Prabhupada's writings, because the Vedas are very expansive and they're so big. And by the way, on this planet, there's only 6% of them left. 94% of them were lost in the great flood that happened. When the Vedas were saved, still 94% of them were lost. 6% were saved. And even that 6% is so big, it would take you thousands of lifetimes to get through all those 6%. So that's a slow process to read all the Vedas. Better to read the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the essence of the Vedas. And then Srila Prabhupada's books, because these actually explain the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita messages properly to us. In the association of devotees, we have a proper understanding. Then by this process, definitely we will make progress. So really, in a way, the process has been made very easy to us. We don't have to be too smart. You know, motive ignorance people are not very smart people. So, but they can be very simple-hearted. So we have to be simple-hearted, listen to the acharyas, listen to the guruvara, listen to the sadhus, see the essence of what needs to be done, be guided by such persons, simple lifestyle, and high thinking, meaning always thinking about Krishna and Krishna's associates like that, and hearing about the pastimes, Krishna katha, Gaur katha, like that. Immersing oneself in the katha, being part of the katha, like that. Then everything is assured if we can just chant Hare Krishna nicely and be compassionate towards other living entities, Jivdaya. Krishna will take care of everything. The acharyas will take care of everything. The guruvara will take care of everything. Sadhus will take care of everything. We really don't need to do much. We can be quite lazy. Quite lazy. In fact, it's described that the best devotees are the laziest because they don't manufacture anything. They don't try to create anything themselves. They just follow. They just follow. Simple-heartedly follow. Do things that they are told to do. In the process, they do some very amazing things, actually. The best of the material leaders cannot do what the worst of the devotees can do. Because the devotees are doing the right thing. These materialists are actually heading in the wrong direction. They're going towards hell. So working hard towards going to hell is not a very smart idea. But they think it is. And those of us who associate with them can fall in the same trap. and become swavidhinas, you know, so that we change our process and think it's something else and make our process better, which is really worse. It's not better, it's worse. Does that make sense, Prabhuji?
Yes, yes, Prabhuji. Perfect sense. The first two, three lines itself, you know, where sadhu, shastra and guru.
Yes.
Because the books are available, yeah. Yeah,
it's true. Thank you so very much.
Hare Krishna.
Wonderful. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Does anybody wants to go ahead? Next question.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for the very enlightening class. And thank you so much for beautiful answers. And thank you so much for your valuable time and association.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. I just wanted to say thank you, Hare Krishna.
Daddy! Please don't be shy. You can ask questions. You may disagree with things that I say. I like people to disagree with me because it tells me whether I know what I'm saying properly or not. And I learn also when I make mistakes, I learn from my mistakes. So please don't accept something because I said it.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Go ahead, Stephanie Mataji. Okay. I'll be quick. And Hare Krishna, thank you so much. Dandavat Pranam, Prabhuji. As always, I'm so happy to see when you give class for us because it's always such a powerful and thought-provoking class. And I don't have any disagreements with you at all, so I'm not going to do that. But I do just want to say to you, thank you for the entire class, but particularly the statement that you made about Lord Chaitanya has been here many, many times. He's been here many, many times, and he's gone back, and we haven't gone back with him. And that really struck me. That yes, we need to get out of here. We don't belong here, and we have to do what we can to leave. So right. Thank you so very much for that, Prabhuji.
You're welcome. Especially when you think about the statement that Lord Chaitanya made, that if you simply dance in front of my deity, I will take you back to Godhead. Mm. Now, if you think about it, what could be easier than that, right? Just have to dance in front of his deity, and we will go back. Now, the only thing we have to avoid after that is offending devotees, of having a desire in the heart to enjoy something in this world, you know, whatever it might be that we like to enjoy in this world, have that desire. These are the only things that hold us back, because even though we're dancing in front of the deity, we're telling Gauranga Mahaprabhu, but I still like that other thing a little bit. So please let me in. That's the mistake that Bharat Maharaj had made. And we make this mistake all over again. This is why this part of the Bhagavatam is very important. Us to understand, let's not make that mistake. Let's become simple-hearted and say to Gauranga Mahaprabhu, I am yours and you are mine. And this is it. I don't have anything to enjoy in this world. There is nothing to enjoy. The only thing to enjoy in this world is your service. And I am somehow being allowed to engage in your service. Otherwise, Prabhupada said, a perfect devotee lives a simple life. He just sits down in one place and has nice prasadam. And then anytime he gets an opportunity to serve Krishna, he does the service for Krishna, for Krishna's pleasure, and then he just sits down and then he just enjoys more prasadam, that's all. That's a devotee. That's a perfect devotee, he says. Whereas we think, no, we have to do this, we have to do that, and complicate our lifestyles and try to become great heroes. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati told, don't be a hero. Don't try to be a hero. Just simply follow the process. The idea is to get out of Durga, get out of jail. We're talking about Durga here. The idea is to get out of jail, not to make life better inside jail or become the best inmate of jail. Let's not do that. So in that sense, we can see we complicate things too much, you know. Keep it simple. Now, we might be given a position that is a complicated position, like being a temple president. It's complicated because, you know, you've got to look after so many devotees. You've got to look after management, this, that, and that. These are very complicated processes. But like I said, in antarnishtha, internally, you remain simple. Externally, you have to deal with whatever you have to deal with. It's your misfortune if you've been asked to become temple president. It's your bad luck. Because now you're going to be the lightning rod. people are going to criticize you. They're not going to like you. And if you offend devotees, you're not going to go back to Godhead. So really, you just bought your ticket to stay right back here when you became temple president. You see what I'm saying? So nobody should really want to become a temple president. But if you're appointed and you're told you have to do the service, then you do that service. But you do that service understanding that your purpose is not to be a boss, to be a controller. But your purpose is really to actually serve the devotees, to give that service to the devotees so nicely that they can be happy. And if they're unhappy, you're unhappy that they're unhappy. You do something about it. And you keep working like that, in that mood, you know, like that. Then it works out. Then any position works out. We think that we are the servant of the servant of the servant. Dasa, dasa, na dasa. Then it works out, yeah. So it's very true. I mean, this process is such a great process. But for some reason, we always go back to our past conditioning in this world and think, no, I'm some type of Ishvara, you know. I'm not a big Ishvara, but I'm a small Ishvara. And this Ishvara mood is holding us back here. It's pegging us back to the material world, you know. So, yeah, thank you for bringing up that point. It's a very nice point. Thank you. Hare Krishna, somebody else was trying to ask a question or say something.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Very nice class, very nicely given, very straightforward answers and very practical.
Thank you
to follow. Thank you.
Thank you so very much.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you for the wonderful class. Your explanations and your answers are like what Mataji said, very straightforward, very simple to understand. Implementing it is the hard part. So we see here that Jada Bharata, he is so detached from everything. He is not interested in committing himself to anything in this material world. It is so hard for us to actually follow that standard in our lives, especially when we have to deal with, I mean, we have family, we have children, we have responsibilities, work, job, everything. So, and in our day-to-day life, how do we maintain that, like what you said, that simplicity, that constancy, how do we constantly surrender to the Lord in every situation?
Yeah.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you. That's a brilliant question. It's actually a problem that all of us actually face all the time, you know. Until we're in the material world, unfortunately, like it says in the Bhagavatam, Kale Dosh Nidhe Rajan, you know, it's full of these types of doshas, you know, the difficulties and the things that go wrong in this world. It's just an ocean of faults like that. We're swimming in this ocean and we're hoping to be dry and the ocean is wet. And how are we going to be dry in a wet ocean? That becomes the issue. So basically, this is why this other statement that I made, Antarnishtha, is very important. Internally, at least, let's do that. Yes, externally, we cannot be perfect. But let's internally be perfect. Internally, let's say to ourselves that I am Krishna's and Krishna is mine. I am Gauranga Mahaprabhu's, Gauranga Mahaprabhu is mine. Like that. I am my Guru Maharaj. My Guru Maharaj is mine. Like that. Guru represents Krishna. So if we internally do that, the thing is, if we stay fixed internally, then sooner or later it comes out externally as well. And it comes out gradually. It doesn't come out all of a sudden. You know, we're not going to become a pure devotee overnight. Prabhupada says it takes 30 to 40 years to become a devotee. What we speak of becoming a pure devotee. Pure devotee takes longer. He was asked one time, Prabhupada, you're the perfect pure devotee. He says, I'm not a devotee. He says, you know, I'm actually trying to become a devotee, he said. You know, then he said, yeah, actually, I'm not even trying to become a devotee. I'm trying to become a servant. He said, you can see this humility of Prabhupada, best of all devotees. But he's not just being humble. That is his internal position. That is Prabhupada's actual internal position. He thinks like that. We may say, well, Prabhupada is simply trying to set the example. And he's saying, yeah, that is true. It is also true. Simultaneousness is there. Simultaneousness is there. But there's no doubt that Prabhupada personally felt that he was very insignificant. In fact, when he wrote the Markine in Bhagavad Dharma, you can see signs at the bottom. Your most insignificant beggar. He even puts the word beggar after insignificant. Insignificant is you know, low enough, then you add beggar to it, and you know, beggar is also low, like, you know. So the idea is that internally we do that. So for the internal process, these five things that I said, you know, I call them A, B, C, D, E. A is association, devotees; B is the books; C is the chanting; D is the devotional diet; the D is the dancing, the devotion, the discipline, and the E is encouraging others, you know. If we just keep to these five things internally, somehow we are always thinking, what can I do in these five things? And keep thinking about those five things all the time, particularly the E, you know, the encouraging others by being nice to people, not expecting that they will join Hare Krishna, become ISKCON devotee, become devotee, take initiation, this, that, and the other. Don't go like that. That's Krishna's decision. Krishna says, you do your duty, leave the results to me. Don't push that far. Just understand, this person is Krishna's child. And just like any one of our children, we love all our children 100%. You see? So Krishna loves all of his children 100% too. So if we can do anything for Krishna's child, Krishna is going to become very happy with us. So if we can just be nice towards other people, that in itself can take us back to Godhead. You know, what to speak of dancing in front of Lord Chaitanya, or like Prabhupada said, you can eat your way back to Godhead. You know, all these things are there, right? Okay, so internally, if we are doing that, then our situation is guaranteed. Externally, unfortunately, this world is a very difficult world. It is not going to be possible to become a devotee unless we have the mercy of Guru, Sadhu, and Sastra. So knowing that, we do what others may consider impossible, but we know it is possible because we have the support of Krishna himself, of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, their associates, and of course all the wonderful devotees, the Gaura Bhakta Vrinda of this world. If we can align this word Gaura Bhakta Vrinda with ecstasy or pleasure, you know, and think Gaura Bhakta Vrinda means pleasure, it means ecstasy. So as much as you can invoke Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, then you are going to actually move forward. They're going to push you forward. It's almost like you're in a tide, you know. The tide is coming down. It's from a big, you know, rising tide. It's falling towards the shore. You're going to go with the tide. You're just going to go with the tide. Stay in the association with devotees like that. And understand that all the things that are going wrong are temporary, first of all. And secondly, you can only do whatever you can do according to your capacity. Some people have more capacity, some people have less capacity. It makes no difference what level of capacity you have. Whatever capacity you have, use your capacity, and in a way that you are encouraged. Don't discourage yourself. Don't burn yourself out by overstepping your capacity and trying to do more than you possibly can, and then burning yourself out in the process, then giving up on the process, thinking, something wrong in this process. It's not working for me. I'm not happy. We have to be happy. At all times, we have to be happy. Prabhupada said, if you're not happy, you're not devotee. So what makes us happy? Now, sense gratification sort of makes us happy, but it's not happiness. Why? Because it's actually not me that's becoming happy. It's the senses becoming happy. Then the senses will become more powerful. Then they'll tell the soul, you sit down. We're going to do what we want to do. And then you'll never do what you want to do anyway. Even internally, you will not be able to. So I'm not talking about sense gratification happiness. I'm talking about the happiness of the soul. What makes the soul happy? It makes the soul happy to chant Hare Krishna and to serve other persons for Krishna's pleasure. That's what makes the soul happy. So always you think about it. Mental service is greater than physical service because the mind is higher than the senses. So internally, at least think like that. Nobody can be stopped internally, right? Externally, so many things can stop us. Internally, nothing can stop us. So internally, stay focused. And then sooner or later, that part comes out externally as well. And if it doesn't come out, don't worry about it. It'll come out when it's supposed to come out. If it does not meant to come out, it won't come out. Don't worry about it. Internally, become 100% fixed. Nothing's stopping us internally, right? Externally, we have got too many responsibilities, like you said, parenting, you know, spousing, working for others, running a business, doing services, this, that, and the other, except for services that are related to pleasing Krishna, all other services. These are all problems. These are all doshas. And this is an ocean of faults. Really, you should dip yourself in an ocean to understand what size an ocean is, you know. Ocean is not a sea. It's much bigger than a sea. It's very, very big, very, very deep. In fact, we don't know anything about our oceans, actually. Very little. Material scientists know very little about our oceans. In the future, we will find out. Some of us have figured it out already. The future will find out our greatest wealth is not on the land, it's in the ocean. 80% of this world is ocean. And Varunadev is the lord of the ocean. And by the way, if you don't know that, the lord of wealth is not Kuvera. Kuvera himself prays to Varunadev, and then that's why he has wealth. Kuvera is the treasurer. The treasurer is not the owner of the money. The owner of the money is the owner. The treasurer is his servant who handles all the money. So Varunadev is the real owner of wealth, and he is the lord of the ocean. So where do you think the wealth is sitting? That's why he put it under miles and miles of water, so we can't reach it. But people are going to find out, and they're going to start mining the oceans, and that's when this world will become like Swarga. It will become like Swarga. Then it will be even harder to be devotee. Better it is like now, hellish. This is our good chance. Don't waste opportunity this lifetime. Take advantage. Let's just go back to Godhead. Otherwise, it's going to get worse. It's only going to get worse. It will look better, but it will be worse. Why? Because there will be more opportunity to enjoy nice prasadam, nice singing and dancing in front of the deities, nice serving of the deities, beautiful devotees. We're going to get lulled into thinking, oh, I'm in Vaikuntha already. I'm already in Goloka. Everything is fine. This is nice. I think I'd like to enjoy more of this. Krishna would say, yeah, tathastu. Please come back. There are going to be many devotees in the future. Stay right back here. Let's not make that mistake. Now, I'm not saying, you know, dancing with the devotees is bad or deity worship is bad. I'm not saying anything like that. Understand the purpose. Understand the intention. The intention is to please Krishna. There is no other intention. Solely Krishna's pleasure. There is no other intention. We're doing it for Krishna's pleasure. We're not doing it for our own pleasure. We're doing it for Krishna's pleasure. Yes, we're going to feel pleasure naturally because we are reflecting. No? We're reflecting. The mirror has to reflect the person. So we're reflecting. So the pleasure is going to be there. But the mirror is not enjoying. The original is enjoying. Let Krishna be the enjoyer. And then when somebody insults us or says something bad about us or does something bad to us, it doesn't bother us. Because it's not about us. It's about Krishna. Jad Bharat was insulted so badly. It didn't bother him. He was about Krishna. We get so affected by little criticism, little boo somebody says, and we hide under the bed. Oh, how he can say this to me? How they can do this to me? And we just get caught in our conditioning. This is our conditioning. So, dealing with the material world means dealing with Guru, Sadhu and Sastra. Don't ever do it alone. Otherwise, you'll get swept away by the tide of the material world, be back in the same position we're in, and then comes 15,002, which is another 8,640,000,000 years from now. Lord Chaitanya will be back again, and we'll be doing these classes again, and somebody will be speaking and somebody will be listening. Qualitatively, it makes no difference whether they're speaking or they're listening. The speaker actually listens more than the listener does. Do we want this again and again and again? Do we want Krishna consciousness? Yes. Do we want to be Krishna conscious in the material world all the time? No. We want to be Krishna conscious in Golok Vrindavan. Because there we can serve Krishna more. Our capacity is much bigger. So much capacity, we can create millions of material worlds on our own. That's how much capacity we have in Golok Vrindavan. Can you imagine how much service we can give to Krishna now through Radharani, the best of the best of the best, through Lord Nityananda, the best of the best of the best, serving Gauranga Mahaprabhu? This is our process. Let's not let the material world bother us. Why? Because we have the association of the devotees. Now we are secure. In the association of devotees, we are secure. Because the devotees will keep reminding us like this. We have to remind ourselves. I have to remind myself. I'm speaking not to remind all of you. I'm speaking to remind myself. I have a problem. You don't have a problem. I have a problem. But by helping you overcome your problem, I'm going to help myself overcome my problem bigger and better and best and you know, greater. And how? In the association of all of you, in the association of gopis. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes, thank you so much, Prabhuji. It's so wonderful to hear that answer from you directly. Thank you. I mean, definitely the ABCDE is what I have to constantly be working on, thinking about, and especially trying to encourage others. Don't have any hidden motives and constantly.
Know that Krishna loves you more than anybody else. There's one.
We don't want to come back.
He loves us so much. Why he will not do everything for us, you know? When we were babies, right? 1 month, 2 month old babies, what did we do? We did nothing. The parents did everything. You know? What can the baby do? The baby can do nothing. We are babies of Krishna. Krishna says that I'm Bij Padapita, I'm the seed giving father of all living entities. The seed is not an old person. The seed is before you actually become a baby. So, and even as a baby, we know how much we relied on our father and our mother, especially the mother. So for us, the mother is Guru, Sadhu, and Sastra. And the father is Krishna himself, Gauranga Mahaprabhu. That's the father. The mother is Radharani and Lord Nityananda. And the father is Krishna and Gauranga. Like that. Just understand that. Let them take care of us. They can take first class care of us. The problem is we think I can take care of myself. And then we get ourselves into trouble. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't take care of ourselves. We should to set the example in this world externally. Internally, we don't take care of ourselves. Internally, we let Krishna take care of us. We simply just want to be with Krishna all the time, like the baby wants to be with the mother all the time. Baby doesn't want to be separate from mother. So as the mother walks away, baby starts crying. Mother has so much to do. She has to look after the cooking, she has to look after the washing, she has to look after the husband, she has to look after the other children, she has to go to work, she has to run a business, she has to do 5 billion things, right? Mother is the best person in creation. She's got so many things to do, but the baby thinks that the only reason the mother is around is for the baby. So the baby cries every time the mother moves away. The mother comes back, hugs the baby, kisses the baby, gives the baby so much love. Krishna has got a lot to do. He's got his Rasa Leela. He's got this, that, everything. But if we cry, Krishna will come. We cry for Krishna, Krishna will come. Internally, we have to cry for Krishna all the time. Tell Krishna, I can't do anything without you, Krishna. Anytime anything good is happening, you say, thank you, Krishna. You're letting me do this. Anything, sometimes wrong is going, say, Krishna, I need help. Please help me. Please help me. Please help me. I can't do it without you. I'm getting lost. I'm losing my sanity here, this, that, whatever else. Talk to Krishna. Always talk to Krishna. Always talk to Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Always talk to Radharani, Lord Nityananda, Lord Balaram, Jagannath, Baldev Subhadra, Lord Nisingadeva, Anantha Sesha, Lakshmi Mata. These are all combinations. Tulsi Maharani. Yogamaya Maharani. Subhadra Maharani is one of the best people to talk to all the time. She is Yogamaya. She is the one who is the director of all of Krishna Leela. So if she gives you a position in Krishna Leela, what else you want? So pray to Subhadra. She's the best of the best of the best. Pray to Radharani. She's the best of the best of the best. Lord Nityananda, best of the best of the best. These are all the personalities who lead us into the right position. Tulsi Maharani, like that, Prinda Devi, Guru, Sadhu, Sastra, like that. These are all the greatest. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for wonderful answer, Prabhu. It's really eye-opener to me. I have a question. Maybe I missed some of your points, Prabhu. You said, if you are not happy, then you are not a devotee. Does that mean whatever the service we are doing for Krishna, we are not happy with that service, then you are saying we are not a devotee, Prabhu? Just
Yeah, very good point. This is very good to understand what Prabhupada meant when he said, if you're not happy, you're not Krishna conscious. Means that Prabhupada was saying, now you have Krishna on your side, right? Like, let's just say, for example, because in Kali Yuga, the most important thing is money. You know, everybody is money conscious in Kali Yuga, big time. The dollar is God. They even put it on there, God we trust. You know, so point is, now let's talk in money terms, right? So imagine that I am a beggar, you know, a poor person, which is actually true. My spiritual master asked me to take vows of poverty. So I am a beggar, actually. I don't have much money in the bank account, very little money, actually. So, okay, so now point is that I'm a beggar and I'm worried about money all the time, right? So then suddenly what happens is one day I meet somebody like Bill Gates, and then somehow, because of our previous life connection or something, we hit it off with one another. And he says to me, you know, I've met so many people in my life. I've met my wife, who is now, we have a problem with him. I met my daughter, and I love my daughter completely. I have all these wonderful business people I met, this, that, and the other. But somehow, you are the best person I met in my life. You are the best person. You are my best friend. You're everything to me. Will I have money problems after that? No. Will I be worried about money after that? No. Will I be the happiest person in the world? Now I have all the money I want in the world? Yes. So why should then worry about money after that? That means I'm stupid, right? I don't know what I'm doing. Here's my best friend. He's ready to give me his life, or to speak about his money. Krishna is ready to give his life to us. Suhridam sarva bhutanam. Love means giving your life. Krishna is ready to give his life to us. Each and every one of us. We have him. Now what are we unhappy about? The only thing we should be unhappy about is somehow my mind is not cooperating. My intelligence is not cooperating. So the problem is internal, not external. So internally, we're dealing with the problem. We're very happy knowing that I'm Krishna's. So internally, we are fixed in happiness. Externally, we're not happy because seeing other people unhappy, how are we going to be happy? Right? There's a saying that Vaishnavas are karadukhi dukhi. Means seeing others unhappy, Vaishnava becomes unhappy. Externally, unhappiness is not what Prabhupada is talking about. He's talking about internal happiness. Internally, we have to be happy. Externally, we don't go around smiling and laughing all the time, thinking everything's fine. Everything's not fine. We're in the material world. This is dukhalaya asaswata. How in dukhalaya you going to be sukhi? So, yes, we understand that. But internally, we are completely happy. That means we are internally fixed. That means nothing is going to stop our Krishna consciousness now. Nothing can stop Krishna consciousness. We are happy. Krishna is happy. I am happy. Who's going to stop the Krishna consciousness now? Krishna consciousness is not by my effort. Krishna consciousness is by Krishna's mercy. If Krishna gives me Krishna consciousness, I will have Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, Maya is very happy to give us material consciousness. She's giving us material consciousness. She is taking very nice care of us. She is the mother of the material world. And she is a very powerful mother. Even her husband fears her. Even her husband worries that he'll become materially conscious too. That's why he's always chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Lord Shiva, who by the way is not Jiva Tattva, he's Shiva Tattva. Even he worries that he might lose his Krishna consciousness. He's always chanting Hare Krishna. Always serving other people. And he's serving all people, even the Bhutas, the Pretas, everybody. He's always doing Jeev there. He's the best of the Vaishnavas. You can see, right? Even he, his wife is Durga. He's worried, he fears his wife a lot. Every husband should fear the wife. And the wife should fear the husband too. The wife should fear Durga. Because all these personalities are meant to keep us in this world until they become fully Krishna conscious. Now, by the way, Durga Devi is fully Krishna conscious. Maya Devi is an initiated devotee in our movement. She took initiation from Haridas Thakur. But she is serving Krishna, and her service is to keep the living entities in the material world. She does a brilliant service. So she is ready to give us unlimited amounts of material consciousness. But we want Krishna consciousness. And Krishna consciousness happens by the association of Krishna and his devotees, Gauranga and his devotees. If we stay in that association, there's nothing to be unhappy about now. Like Prabhupada says, the meaning of Krishna consciousness is to always be with Krishna on that spiritual planet, Golok Vrindavan, and that one is simply waiting to give up this material body. So it's just a matter of time. Death is happening around us all the time. We had a death in our family just 3 days ago. Death is happening all the time around us. We're also going to die. Not going to be very long before we die. Just a few moments left and we're gone. So why don't we just make those few moments internally fully Krishna conscious? Internally, all we have to say to Krishna is, I am yours, you are mine. Please know that everything I'm going to do, past, present and future, even though in the past I didn't do the right things, is for your pleasure only. Nothing else. It's all only you. It's all you. Hey, Deen Dayadranath. Radharani uses this prayer. She prays like this. Deen Dayadranath. Means without you, I'm nothing. I cannot do anything. I'm useless, worse than useless. But with you, I'm able to do some things. I'm so happy I met you. So happy I came to know you. So happy to know that I'm meant to love you the most. You are the most lovable person. I'm so happy to know that. And now I will do things like that. I will try. But because I'm a stupid person, I'm a fallen person, I'm a sinner, I will make mistakes. I will fall down. Please excuse me. Understand that it's because of my conditioning that I'm like that, not because of my soul. My soul is fully with you. But my silly senses, mind, intelligence, and false ego, these guys have ganged up together to trap me in this world. Please overpower these ones and help me reach you and only be with you all the time. Like that. Internally pray like that. Talk. Make your own prayer up. Make it up on your own. Chant the prayers of the acharyas, whatever it is you like to do. But mix them up yourself too, so that you are talking. It's your genuine feeling towards Krishna, towards Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and their associates, of course. We don't separate Krishna from his associates and Gauranga Mahaprabhu from his associates. Like that.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you, sir. Do you have some time, Prabhu, to take any more questions?
Yes, I can take as many questions as you like.
Thank you. Harita Mataji, I think you raised up the hand. You can go ahead, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. That was very nice question and answer session and the Bhagavatam explanation. Prabhu, so the solitude bhakti will never work? Will it never help us progress?
Solitude bhakti means that there is no bhakti. Solitude means it is pretense, you know? It's like I'll go into a cave, I'll sit down and I'll say Hare Krishna, right? Yes, we know Haridas Thakur did that. But Haridas Thakur was always in the association of devotees. He never separated himself. You know, he went into the cave for some time just so that he can totally focus on the holy name, right? Like Prabhupada did that too. He took a month off one time. Just for a whole month, he sat in a kutir and just chanted Hare Krishna all day long. His spiritual master also did things like that. That's not secluded. That's just isolating for the purpose, just like we isolate from the pandemic, right? The purpose is not to isolate. The purpose is to protect ourselves like that. But otherwise, isolation is pure dong, you know, like they say in Gujarati or in Hindi. That is just pretense. It's pretense. There's no such thing as isolation bhakti. How can someone do isolation bhakti when the whole purpose of Krishna consciousness is sambandha, abhideya, and priyojan? Sambandha means relationships. Abhideya means the process within those relationships. And prayojan means the final fruit of those relationships. The flowers and the fruits of that tree of that relationship. So where is the isolation here? Who's isolated? Nobody's ever isolated. Isolated is a chingari, you know? There's a fire happening and the chingari, the spark comes out of the fire. And what happens to the spark? Of nothing. Isolation means chingari. We are not chingaris. You know? We're not into isolation. Never be isolated in your bhakti. Always be with Krishna. Never be separated from Krishna. Always be with Gauranga Mahaprabhu, all the associates, especially Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. The pleasure of creation is Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Real pleasure.
So that means the people who went to the forest, say, Dhruva Maharaj or the other exalted souls, like they have been like alone and chanting the name of Lord.
No, they were not alone. No, they were never alone. They were always with Krishna. They could actually feel Krishna's presence, all the associates of Krishna. They actually isolated themselves from the material relationships. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. My question was the same, Prabhu. Like, separating from the Lord, but you're alone, but you're always remembering the Lord.
Yes. That's very good. Yeah, thank you. Yes, perfect. Yeah. You're isolating yourself from material consciousness, not just material people, but material consciousness. Mm-hmm. If you don't isolate yourself from material consciousness, you will never be in spiritual consciousness. Material consciousness and spiritual consciousness don't mix. Now, when we are doing bhakti, we are mixing, therefore we are not really in spiritual consciousness. We are in material consciousness trying to become spiritually conscious, you see what I'm saying? But isolation means to move away from material consciousness into pure spiritual consciousness. Now you're isolated, but you're isolated from material consciousness. You're fully into spiritual consciousness, which means now you're with the world outside the jail. Before you were associating people inside jail, now you're associating people outside jail. How many people are inside jail compared to how many people outside jail? Big difference, right? There may be only a few hundred people inside jail, and there are millions of people outside jail, right?
Yes.
So isolation means no more isolation.
Yeah.
Problem is, material world means we have isolated ourselves from the spiritual world. You see what I'm saying? That's Ulta Ganga, you know? That's the wrong isolation.
Yeah.
It depends which isolation. So, Sari, thank you for clarifying. Yes. Yes, we must isolate ourselves from material consciousness.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thanks.
And that is real bhakti. Thank you.
Haribol. Thank you.
But we don't isolate ourselves from material people because we have to do jivdaya. So we have to associate with family, with friends, with our boss, people we may not like or people we may like. We have to associate with these people to help them come to Krishna consciousness and become Krishna consciousness. Because in training others, we will learn ourselves best. We must always be in training mode.
Yes, Prabhu. Thank you.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Yes, Hare Krishna. Yes, Maharaj.
And just I want to ask is if anybody have any more questions.
You can all stay around as long as you want, okay? I have hundreds of years to speak like this. I don't care about time. Krishna's service is most important. This is the best service anybody can do, to hear about Krishna and association devotees and encourage each other to become more Krishna conscious, you know, like that.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Thank you so much for such a beautiful, beautiful class and nice question answer session. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
If nobody have any questions, can we end the call here?
Yes. I think today is Saturday. This is the day when people are able to catch up with other things outside of all their life, etc. So, good time.
Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhuji, for a very enlightening class today. And we are very grateful to you, Prabhu. And we look forward for your association again in the future.
Thank you so much.
Let us pay obeisances to Prabhuji and all the devotees. Vancha Kalpatavutya. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shres Nityananda Prabhuji ki jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Shri Gaura Bhaktavinda ki jai.